Today's daf is daf Ayin Zayin. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah right at the beginning of this wonderful new parak, HaTodah HaTabah. So, find down the Halakha parak. HaTodah HaTabah Chamesh Sa'in Yerushalmiot. Moving on now to all of the dinim, which we just touched on in the previous parak about the Chalot of the Todah, which fascinatingly started off as being outside of the whole Inyan of Menachot and ended up being the Makor of many dinim that we compared to Todah. So now we're going to talk about the size of the various, whether it's made out of chametz or sorin, the truma that is taken from the challah, the way in which we're mekadesh the challah, and the dinim of things that it's kosher to bring the challah from. And of course, there were really three variants of the chalot todah. One is the typical chalot of a todah, the other is the special case of chalot nazir, and the third case was the very interesting role that the chalot todah played during the Yemei HaMiluim. And that, of course, was the beginning, in a sense, even the central point of Korbanot. And there we had the original idea of the Chazav Shok and the dinim of the Todah, which are going to be discussed here as well. So we're going to have three types of Chalot. And the Mishnah begins with Adodah Haitaba'a Chamesa in Yerushalmiot, Shein Shesh Midbariot. At the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, six of the Midboriot Sa'ah were the Shir, because those were Shtei Eifot. And you remember that it says, Ha'omer Asirita Eifahi, so the Omer is Anisaron, and that means that for each one of these Chalot, at least of the Chametz, as we'll see, we had Anisaron. So from these Shtei Eifot, which used to be Shalosh Sa'in in the Midbar, you had, by definition, if one Isaron is a tenth Isaron is a Sirita Ifa, then you have in the two 20 Isronot. And this was split between Asara l'chametz and Asara l'matzah. The mission is going to continue. However, as time passed on, they actually increased the size of the midot by 1/6, which is really 1/5 of the original amount, which becomes 1/6 of the total. And it's called Shesh Milabar, which is a Chomesh Milagav. So therefore, the original five now becomes, the original six now becomes five. Those five include that six. And that was originally the Midbar to Eifot. What did we do with these 20 Isronot? Well, we split them down the middle, but down the middle ends up being very unequal, because Asara are given to the Chametz, and Asara, that means, gives us Isaron v'chalah, because there were 10 Chalot Chametz, and the other 10 of the Isaronim were given to Matzah, which sounds very equitable on the surface. The only problem is that v'matzah shalosha minim, as opposed to the Chametz, where there was only 10 total of one type, Chametz, there were actually three different type of chalot, and that were the chalot that were blulot, and the rikikin, which were the mishuchin, and the ruvucha. The ruvucha is actually cooked in boiling water, and that means there's 30 altogether. And these 30 have to share 10 esronim, as opposed to the 10 that share 10 esronim of the Chametz. And so, it turns out, says the Mishnah, Nimtzu shlosha esronim v'shlish l'chol min v'min. You end up having to split the 10 three ways, which gives you 3 1/3 for each various types, which means that you would have each chala, shalosh chalot, l'isaron, which gives you precisely 1/3 of an isaron per chala, so that in the 3 1/3, you ended up with 10. Now, all of this, of course, is in terms of the midbarit, because remember, we mentioned the eifot in terms of the midbar. And so, when it comes to the Yerushalmit, the Bimida Yerushalmit, which was actually included in five, the six, so it's a six, the smaller, so to speak, we'd have to measure it differently, because then, for all 40 together, we would have shloshim kav, and then we'd split it, according to that measurement system, we'd split it between chamisha asar l'chametz or chamisha asar l'matzah. That would be split between 15 and 15 in the more modern midah, and that would give us, for the chametz, kav umechzel l'chala, because you had 10, and therefore you need 1.5 for each one and that would equal the same thing as the Yisaron, that would be a Kav Umechza. And then you've got the 15 Kav for Matzah, for all of the 30 of the three types altogether. And since B'Matzah you have Shalosh Minim, or Shalosha Minim, it should say, Echalot, the Rekikin, and the Revucha, which, by the way, the Rambam learns Revucha does not mean an oil in water like Rashi, but means that it's mixed with a lot of oil. In any event, it turns out that this way it sort of works out very much easier because you have Chameshet Kavim L'chol Min V'Min. Each type gets 5 Kav, and that gives you exactly a half a Kav per challah, so that you get shtei challot l'kav, and therefore in the 5 kavim, you get the 10 challot, and everything works out just fine. So in order to properly understand the Gemara's limud right now, we should look at the posik in Yecheskel, which is a very strange posik that seems to put together all types of different measurements from differing systems. So what it says is this: Ha'efa ve'habat tochen echad yiyeh. The efa and the bat have the same volume. Laseit ma'aser ha'chomer, that they can carry the volume of 1/10 of a chomer. Habat vasirita efa vasirita chomer. Ha'efa el ha'chomer ye matkunton. Now surely you'll agree that that is the most strange-sounding pasuk. I mean, the first part seems to make sense. An efa and a bat contain the same amount, which is 1/10 of a chomer. Okay, let's take that first part of the pasuk and see what we could do with it first. So, ha'toda ha'ita ba'a chamesa in Yerushalmiot, and it ought to continue with the rest of the quote, because that's what we're really going to be discussing. And the continuation should be, Shehin, it's Shalosh Sain, it's Haifa Shalosh Sain, fine. And that's really the question that we're asking now. Minahan Emile, how do we know that the Eifa is 6 Sa in Midbar terms? Omer of Chista, the Omer Akrof, we take a look at that Posik in Yecheskel. It says, Ha'efa v'habat, Tochen Echad Yiyeh, Laseit, remember it doesn't say lachem, but it says laseit ma'aser hachomer. So now what we understand that to mean is that the bat is the same as the tochen over here of the efa. So this tells me that just like the bat is shalosh sa'in, which we're going to establish in a moment, so too is the efa shalosh sa'in. Ask the Gemara, who is to say that the bat is shalosh sa'in? I mean, if it's from the continuation right here in the Pasuk, which says, Midechtiv, Ilewe Midechtiv, Laseit Maaser HaChomer Habat, in which case it's saying 1/10 of a Chomer. And a Chomer is given as 30 Sah, so that it's saying that 1/10 of that is a Bat, which would mean that the Bat equals 3 Sah. Says the Gemara, it couldn't possibly be that that's what you're trying to say, because then why in the world would you have first gone to go all around the back in order to teach me how large the Eifa was from the Bat, if it says directly, right here, the continuation of the Pasuk, Eifa nami haktiv, va'asirit hachomer ha'eifa. This is really weird. So you couldn't possibly be understanding the Pasuk as referring to the size of the Bat when it says, laseit ma'aser hachomer. So, it doesn't make sense that we'd be going around in circles. El, I mean, we have no choice but to say that we actually don't know how much the Chomer itself is. So the Chomer must be that it's not given that it's 30. So Chomer lo yadana kama, and therefore we can't learn from the Chomer. We want to figure out the Chomer after we know the Bat. So now it's a given, but we don't have any makor for that. So then we're running around in circles. If we don't know that it's the relationship of the Chomer to the Eifa, so then when it comes to the Bat, we're back with the question. That means we cannot figure out how much a Bat is either. If we can't figure out how much an Eifa is, how can we figure out how much a Bat is? They're both here in reference to the Chomer. And now you're telling me, well, the Chomer doesn't tell me how large an Eifa is, but then neither would it tell me how large the Bat is. Boy, I'm really confused. Elamihacha. It must be from the continuing Pesukim. Now the Pesukim after this, not immediately after, but a few Pesukim down, it says, V'chok Hashemen Habat, Hashemen Ma'aser Habat Minakor, Aseret Habatim Chomer, Ki Aseret Habatim Chomer. Whew! That is a weird Pesuk too. And we're going to now understand then that the Chok HaShem and Habat, HaShem in Maaser Habat min HaKor, Aseret Habatim Chomer, Ke Aseret Habatim Chomer, seems to be saying that a tenth of a kor is a bat. And a kor, we know, is 30 sa'ah, in which case a bat is shalosh sa'in. And since the pasuk says that the eifa is the equivalent of a bat, we now know that the bat is shalosh sa'in. Omar Shmuel, Ein mosifin al amidot yoter mishtut. So if the Beit Din is going to make a takana to change the weights, and of course there's a reference back, it's being brought here because of our Mishnah that spoke about the relationship of the new Midah, in which five included six of the Yerushalmit, and you are not allowed to be Mosif more than 1/6, nor velo al amadbea yoter mishtut, nor would you be allowed to change the value of a coin more than 1/6, so you would be adding now on the coin its metal content. And if somebody is making money on something, it is mishtaker, he's going now selling retail what he bought wholesale, then lo yistaker yoter mishtut. The sachar should not be, after of course he takes off all of his overhead and his expenses and other things, he then is allowed to have 1/6 above his total costs, but not more than 1/6. Now, as the Gemara, assuming that what Shmuel was saying was not based on any type of pasuk, it was just simply a logical thing, why would Shmuel say that you have to be careful not to be mosif yoter mishishit? Now, the truth is, of course, what immediately comes to mind is that the reason has to do with the overall halacha of the significance of a sixth when it comes to cheating. And therefore, we immediately thought, normally the halacha is, if you make a sale, then the sale is going to be kosher up to 1/6 of the charge above the legal, the normal price. If it's 1/6, then you have to return the difference if you sold at that price, or you have to pay the difference if you bought at that price. If it's above 1/6, the entire sale is simply batel. So now the Gemara is searching for the relationship of this din yoter mishtut to the halacha that Shmuel said. So, ilema mishum avkui tira. Is it because of the fact that we're afraid that if you start raising the size of the midot, so then you're also going to be finding people taking advantage of raising the prices, and they will maybe end up cheating? I mean, yachishtut namilo, if that's the point, so then what's the difference? I mean, people are always going to take advantage of the change in the size of the candy bar to change the prices. They always do that. So what? Why is the six particularly? Ela mishum ona'a, ki hech v'lo lahavi bito mekach. It must be because we're afraid of something else. We're afraid of taking delivery or selling with the new midah without the knowledge of one of the parties about the change. And therefore, either the buyer or the seller is going to be cheated over here. And because of that, there's a chashash that if you go above the sixth, then it turned out that Beit Din made a takana that ends up destroying mischar. Because if you're only talking about up to a sixth, including six, so then at least you don't completely cancel the sales. But if you're going to have a whole period of change in the actual size of your volume or of your coin, so then somebody can come back months later and sue for completely canceling. It doesn't matter what you try to tell them you're going to make up, it's completely canceled. He wants to cancel the whole deal. That is going to cause absolute chaos. So perhaps Shmuel is just telling us that Beit Din does not make a takana that can cause marketplace chaos. But the problem is, if it was really an issue that had to do with the actual size of a measure or the actual weight of a coin, then the size, the din of shtut, does not apply at all. The sixth is irrelevant. Because Omar Rava, kol davar shebimidah veshebimishkal veshebiminyan, afilu pachot mi'chdei ona'a chozer. The din over there is that even if there's the tiniest bit of changes in something that has to do with a clear-cut measurable issue, such as weights or measurements or numbers, that has nothing to do with the spread that we have in value. So there's a little bit of a spread. So the din of the sixth and beyond the sixth has to do with the spread. But when you're talking about straight out fraud, there isn't a spread. And therefore, the whole thing is kaput when you have a change in the actual measurements. So therefore, it wouldn't make sense. There's got to be another reason, if it's a logistical reason. So is it perhaps ella mishum tagra? Perhaps it is because of the tagra, because of the sellers who come from another location, who do not know that there was a local change in the midot, and they will end up not recognizing, they have to take into consideration in the prices what it is that they're charging. People, of course, in that time used to actually bring, in other words, you would bring, let's say, a liter of a container, and they would pour in the oil, and they wouldn't know that the liter is not the liter that they thought it was. So there we may be getting involved in the din of the sixth again, because at least if you don't change it, sixth, since he's allowed to make a profit of a sixth, he may not be making money, but at least he won't be losing, because it'll cover his profit will cover the loss, so to speak. It'll end up being even. I mean, is that going to be enough? Diana with the lalimte, what is it? We don't want to cause him loss? You're telling me that a businessman doesn't need to make a profit? I mean, that makes no sense. Rav Chaloboy, we're putting a guy in a position where he's not going to make any money? You're calling a guy who buys and sells at the same price, you're calling him a tagra? Zavan v'zabin tagrik? I mean, there's a lot of people who may do that, as Gavi can tell you. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of people who do that and lose money and think that they're businessmen. But certainly we're not going to make a takana to do such a thing. That doesn't make sense either. Elam Rav Chista Shmuel Kra Ashkach. Indeed, it's not logistical. Shmuel did this because he found a pasuk that gave him the basis for it. And he was dorish that pasuk. And in fact, he sees it as a gzirata katuv, basically, or a kabbalah. And this is the pasuk that he was dorish, which is also a pasuk again in Yecheskel. Once again, an extremely confusing pasuk. V'hashekel esrim gera, esrim shekalim, chamisha v'esrim shekalim, asra v'chamisha shekel amana yelachem. Whew, that is a mouthful. So what are we saying over here? So we are saying that the money is the equivalent of a total of 60 shekalim, except that we've split it into three separate parts. 20 shekel, no, sla'im, let's use the modern word. So 20 sla'im, 25 sla'im, and 15 sla'im. And so that ends up becoming 60. Now, the mana being 60 would mean that matan v'arba'in havi, that it's a completely absurd halacha, because in fact, you said a mana would be 60 sela, which would mean that it's 240 dinar, and that is simply not the case, because we know that the mana is 25 sela, which is 100 dinar. So something is not adding up at all. The only way, says Shmuel, of understanding this pasuk is that it's based on three specific halachot. First of all, Shmamina mana shel kodesh kaful haya. The famous halacha that when we are referring to the manot in the midbar, or here in the Beit HaMikdash, that had to do with the Mishkan, then the din is that all of the shiurim of the coins, when it came to kodesh, was double the weight of the secular coins. Now that already gives us 200, because mana, by definition, mana is 100. So the mana of chol would be 100 dinar. That would mean that the mana of kodesh is matayim dinar. But we come out over here with matayim v'arba'im, as we said, 240 dinar. So that leads us to the second conclusion, which is that shma mina mosifin al amidot. You see from here that it is possible that during the days of Yecheskel, they added additional value, additional weight to the original mana of Kodesh. So they added what actually became in the end a sixth, but which was a fifth of the original amount. And therefore they added that 1/6 so that the 200 dinar became 240 dinar. And that means that when we talk about a fifth, it means that the usage of that word is shmamina. This is the third conclusion, that shtuta milabar, the utilization. But in other words, we're assuming that we're basing these halachot on the common appearance of a sixth in all of the dinim of mischar, in terms of profit, in terms of being the cutoff point for cheating, and so on and so forth. So assuming that the 240 is an additional one-sixth of the original 200, then that means what we're calling one-sixth is one-sixth of the final total, which is one-fifth of the original amount. And therefore the 40 is an additional sixth of 240, a fifth of the original 200. Which means that the shtuta is milabar. You see from here that where we talk about additions, and here it's a one-sixth addition, is actually a 20% addition of the original value. And of course, this is always very confusing to people when it comes to figuring out taxes or sales and so on, and they usually make mistakes with their calculators, not realizing that what was being referred to was of the total and not of the original and so on. But in any event, this is the non-logical basis of what Shmuel was saying, is the Pasuk in Yecheskel. Amar Ravina, and this is the explanation for why we got here in the first place, is that our Mishnah was exactly mashma this way, that the Tosefet would be one-sixth. Matniti nami daika. Why? Because the Mishnah said that the Todah haita ba'a chamesa in Yerushalmiot shen shesh midboriot. So this was a practical application of a universal change of value of a volume measure, which was originally six midboriot sa'ah, which became five Yerushalmiot sa'ah, which means that there was a one-fifth from the inside addition, which became a one-sixth addition in the total, Shema Amina, exactly the three things that Shmuel was saying, based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel, is exactly what we can now see in our Mishnah. So now, knowing what it is that we need to give for each challah, we can move on to talk about the dinim of the truma that's taken from the challah, the lach metola, and continues the next Halakha of Mishnah, Mikulam, from all of the 40 chalot, Haya notel echad mi'asara. So in other words, from each of the four different types. We had, remember, the 10 that were pure chametz, and then we had 30 that were matzah, three different types, the chalot, the ruvucha, and the rikikin. So that gave us 40 chalot in total, obviously of different measurements, because we use the same number of esronot for the chametz as we did for the matzah. But in any event, you would take one out of each 10, in other words, one-tenth of each type, was a truma for the kohen, and we learned that out from the pasuk. It says, "Shnemar v'yikriv mimenu echad mikol korban truma la'ashem." Now, when it says echad means not only one out of 10, but it means one out of 10, meaning shelo yitel porutz, that you don't take something and cut pieces that equal one. It's one. And then from the fact that it says mikol korban, we learn sheyu kol hakorbanot shavot, that all of the various ones that we have should be of the same. And what this means is that you cannot shelo yitel mikorban al chaveiro. You cannot take more from one to cover the other. Each one needs to have the same amount that is given proportionately to the kohen. So you can't take two of one type, cut out the one of the other type. One from each one. And when the pasuk continues, la kohen hazorek et dam hashilamim lo yiyeh, that this goes to the kohen, this truma specifically goes to the kohen, this implies that the rest does not. In which case, hashar nechal labalim. The pasuk is saying the only part that goes to the kohen is that truma. Says the Gemara, we have a braita that teaches us additional things that weren't mentioned in the Mishnah. Tana Rabbana, when it says vihikriv mimenu, that means to tell me min hamechubar, that you should take from it. So that means when everything is all put in one container, then you go ahead and you take the truma. When it says echad, then indeed it means, as the Mishnah tells us, shelo yitel parus. When it says mikol korban, it means you call a korbanot shavot, which is shelo yitel mina korbana al chaveiro. You need to take the same proportion from each one. When it says truma la Hashem, eini yodea mikama hi, I do not know how many chalot we're taking the truma from. Well, harini dan, figure it out. It says truma here, and by trumat maaser, it uses that same word, v'hare motam mimenu trumat Hashem. And there it says beferish, maaser min ha-ma'aser. And therefore, it teaches us, mala alan by trumat ma'aser, which is truma, it means 1 out of 10. So here, it must mean 1 out of 10. And that's the basis of our contention all along, that there are 10 of each of these chalot. Says the Braita, continues, how do you know that that's what it means? O kalach l'darazo, perhaps you should have taken a completely different approach. That is to say, Neymar Khan, by the Truma Slach method, it says Truma. But it also says by Bikurim, it uses the word Trumat Yadecha. It means it causes that Truma. Ma'ala halan, just like the Bikurim, doesn't have any particular amount. You give whatever you want. En la shi'ul, afkan, perhaps the truma, that we're talking about the lach mitoda, has no particular shi'ur. En la shi'ur. So who's to say that it's 1 out of 10? Well, nir l'midomeh. Hold on a minute here. Let's see what's more logical to learn from. Shall we take the trumat lach mitoda from trumat maaser, or shall we take it from the bikurim? Danin truma she'en achareha truma. It makes sense to take, learn the limud of the trumat lachmei todah, which is basically, that's the end of the story. After taking off this truma, it's overs. We should learn from there, from a truma she'en achareha truma, namely from trumat maaser, which is the last stage after we took off truma gedola, and then we took off maaser rishon, and now we're taking off a tenth of that maaser, which is the last stage, in which is nothing that needs to be taken afterwards. But if we would try to learn that from Bikurim, I would come and tell you, Al Yochiach Bikurim, don't try to bring me a proof from Bikurim, because Bikurim Yeshachareim Truma, because even after you take the Bikurim off of your Tvua, you're still going to need to take off Trumot and all the Maserot and the Trumat Maser from your field. O Kalach L'Doroch Zu, well, we should maybe say the other way around. Let's say that danin truma ne'achelet b'makom kadosh. Look, the trumat lachmei Torah can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, just like the bikurim can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. It says, lo tuchal lechob sharecha ma'asad degantcha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha en nidvotecha v'trumat yadecha, and trumat yadecha was the bikurim. So, it makes sense to compare the bikurim to the lachmei Torah, as opposed to comparing it to the lachmei todah to the trumat maaser, which can be eaten anywhere. Shnei chelek b'chol makom, in which case we don't have a makor that it's 1 out of 10. Therefore, since we wouldn't be able to determine on our own what the halakha is, whether to learn it from bikurim or to learn it from trumat maaser, therefore Talmud lomar, that's why it says by the trumat lachmei todah, V'ikriv mimenu echad mikol korban truma la'ashem, uchtiv v'trumat maaser v'harimotam mimenu truma. So the mimenu truma makes this a unique zeirah shava to teach us that we learn out the lachmei Torah from trumat maaser, and therefore we know that we need a tenth, meaning 1 out of 10 of each of the chalot. Okay, says the Braita, fine. So now you've told me that the truma is echad mi'asara. Okay. But I still don't know the basis of why you'd say that each one of the chalot, if it's the chametz, needed to be one yisaron, or the third of the yisaron, if we're talking about the matzah. Where'd you get that from? Avaleini yodea mikamai chala? Ah, there too, areini dan. Let me indeed once again look at Gzeira Shava. Ne'emar kan lechem. Now, it says in our sugya al chalot lechem chametz, yakriv korbano. But it also says with the Shtei HaLechem, it says the same word, Lechem, Mimoshvotechem, Taviu, Lechem, Tenufa. Okay, if that's the case, Balalan, just like the Shtei HaLechem, we know that the shir over there was Isaron Lechala. It says, Beferish der Shtayim Shnei Asronim, which means one Isaron Pachala. Afkan by the Chalot Chametz of the Torah, which are the equivalent of the Shnei HaLechem Chametz, it's also Isaron L'Chala. Or again, ask the Braisa, perhaps Kulak L'Derach Zoh, we should try the other approach. Ne'emar Kan Lechem and Ne'emar B'Lechem HaPanim Lechem. It also says, Vaita L'Lechem La'azkara, when it's referring to the Levona. So the word Lechem appears in both cases. Ma'ala Halan, just like by the Lechem HaPanim, it is Shnei Esronot, for each chalah, as it says before, shnei asronim yeh chalah ha'echat, afkan shnei asronim for each chalah. Ah, but again, nir elamidomeh. Who do you think we should learn it from? this din of lachmi todah. Does it make sense to learn it out from shtei alechem, or does it make sense to learn it out from the lechem apanim? Well, dani mincha haba'a chameitzi mazevach. Look, it makes more sense to compare the lachmi todah, which is coming as part of a zevach. Here it's the challah, and there we have a mincha haba'a chameitzim zevach. The shtei alechem is also coming, and it's the only other time we're going to bring chametz, and it's coming together with this korban shlomim, which is the todah. But to learn it out from the lechem apanim, which doesn't have any similarity to. Al yochiach lechem apanim she'eino ba'a chameitzim zevach. Neither is the lechem apanim part of another korban, nor is it chametz. So therefore it makes sense to learn it out directly from the lachmei Torah, to learn it out directly from the shtei alecha. Or perhaps kulach l'derech zo, says the Braita. Maybe I should say that imin cha ba'al me'aretz v'michutz la'aretz min ha'chadash u'min ha'yashan min cha ba'al me'aretz v'michutz la'aretz min ha'chadash u'min ha'yashan. Look, the lechem apanim and lachmei Torah are completely independent of where that flour comes from. You can bring it from anywhere, and it doesn't matter whether it's the new tefuah or it's last year's tefuah, it's perfectly okay. The shtei alechem, by definition, has got to be the newly grown grain, and it has to be brought dafka mimosh lotechem tavio lechem tenufa, which is a reference dafka to bringing it in Eretz Yisrael. So on the other hand, we should say it makes more sense to learn it out from the lechem hapanim, whereas the shtei alechem are very, very different. Therefore, since we don't know, Talmud lomar mimoshvotechem taviu lechem tenufa shtayim shnei asronim, she'ein Talmud lomar, you didn't have to say taviu. What's that extra pasuk? The extra word taviu is, it really doesn't make any sense at all, because it started. Ve'ikraftem mincha chadasha la'ashem. Ve'ikraftem means taviu. So that taviu has got to come to be marba something else, which must be matam lomar taviu, shekol ma shatam mevi mimakom acher, wherever you're bringing something similar to this, that is to say, chometz with a zevach, namely, the lachmei Torah. Harehu kazeh, to teach me mala alam just like a shtei alechem is isaron lechala, afkan isaron lechala. Asks the Braita, if we're going to learn it out completely from the lechem, shtei alechem, we should also, might as well go all the way and say, Ma'alalan, just like the shtei alechem is together, shnei esronot and no more, afkan, we should also have a maximum of the lachmei Torah, that the total weight of the 10 of the chometz here, which we've been learning it all from, should be shnei esronot, and not more than the shnei esronot. Esronot, 10 esronot. Talmud lomar, no. Therefore, when it continues to tell me the din of shtei alechem, it says, sola tihiena. That word tihiena can't be coming to tell me the din of shtei alechem. It's got to be telling me, echalot todah, that they should be the same for each of their lechem, 10 esronim. Okay, so now lamadnu asara lechametz. The entire discussion here has been revolving on the word tiyena by the shtei alechem, which is chametz. And we're learning this now to the lechem chametz of the Torah. But how about the fact that you're claiming that there's 10 lechem for each type of matzah? How do we know that? Asara l'matzah minayi. Talmud lomar, therefore, says in the pasuk by the korban Torah, al chalot lechem chametz yakriv korbanot, which means neged, whatever parallels the amount of solah that you brought chametz, that's what you have to bring matzah, which tells me, therefore, that there's a total of 20 esronot for the lachmei Torah, asara lechametz v'asara lematzah. So now we've established at least that much. Now, yochol asara shematzah lo yukulan alami min echad. You might think that when we're talking about the matzah, it means bring one type of matzah, 10 chalot. Talmud lomar im al todai yakrivenu v'ikriv al zevach atodah chalot matzot bilulot b'shemen urikike matzot mishuchim b'shemen v'solet murbechet chalot bilulot b'shemen, which means that you've described three completely different sets, chalot, rikikin, and revucha, which means that there's 30 in total. Nimtzu shlosha esonim u'shlish l'chol min v'min. Since we were given a total of 20 Yasronim, 10 for the Matzah, 10 for the Chametz, and now we know that there's 30 separate Chalot of different types of the Matzah, that leaves us only 10 Esronot for 30 Chalot, and that means we need to have a shalosh chalot for each isaron, which allows the shlosha v'shlish to equal 10 of each type. Nimtzu lachmitoda arba'im. So now of all our information, there's a sum total of 40, and the truma is to be notomi and arba, and the one of each one is that is noten la kohen, and then ashar chalin la ba'alim. The rest is given to the owner. Okay, now let's analyze that bright a little bit. Amar bar. He said in the bright of Ikriv Mimenu, that means min ha-mechubar. That means that all of these chalot should be here full and in the kli. Elameata dechtive et kol chelbo yari mimenu. It says the same word mimenu. Are you trying to tell me that when you take the chelek that goes to the mizbeach, the emurim from the korban, that it all has to be whole? Hata mai mechubar ikar. We've already cut it up when you're taking the chalev. Answers the Gemara, Rav Chisdom Ravimi. That's something else. That tells us a halacha that Rav Chisdom Ravimi pointed out. The Yom Rav Chisdom Ravimi, shoyenateach basar kodem shito leimurim. What it means is not to cut up the meat before you've taken out the emurim. And that much is true, that it's mimenu. Another thing that you said in the previous brides, Nehemar kantaruma, v'nehemar b'trumat ma'aser truma. And from there you're learning out that just like that was a tenth, therefore it must be the chalot todah, the truma is a tenth, which tells us there's 10 chalot. How do we know to learn it from there? I mean, there's other places that it says truma. Why don't we learn it out from the truma, Midian, where when they came back from the war with Midian, it says also a truma, and the truma there was tikach echad achuz min hachamishim. So it was 1 out of 50, and that was called also the din of truma. So how do you get 10? Well, that's because the ni truma no heged le dorot mi truma no heged le dorot v'atochiach truma midyan shen heged le dorot. That's a general rule. We learn binding dinim that are the same across the generations from similar cases across the generations. I mean, this is a one-time event. It doesn't make sense that a one-time event serves as a model for something that is a standard behavior. So that's not a good idea. Okay, he says, the Gemara will accept that, but there's another case I could have learned from. I could have learned it out from Challah. Over there it's also called the same Lashon of Truma. It's called Reshit. And over there, we take out 1 out of 24. Answers the Gemara, Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Danin Davar Shenem Bar Bo Mimenu. What we use is the word Mimenu Truma Lashem, which is Lach Metoda, Ikriv Mimenu Echad Mikol Korban Truma Lashem, as we said before. Nidavar Shenem Bar Bo Mimenu Trumat Hashem, and that's Trumat Maaser. Mashenken Lafuki Trumat Chala. When it comes to Chala, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say Mimenu Truma Lashem. By Rava. Rava wanted to know whether a zar who eats the truma of lachme todah, does that have the same din as a zar that would eat truma of dagan? And he would be chayav mita bidei shamayim, and he would be chayav if he did a peshogeg, a knas of 25%, which again is 20% of the total, chomesh. Olein chayav in aleim mita v'chomesh. And here's my question. Do we say that given the itkesh the trumat ma'aser, trumat ma'aser dami, do we say that since the makor of the amount was based on the gezerah shava to trumat ma'aser, it should have the same din of trumat ma'aser in terms of the achila v'zar, she would be chayav mita b'mezid, and chomesh b'shogei. O dilmo, should we say, since it says by trumat ma'aser, umetu bo ki echalaluhu, so we should be medayik dafka bo. And it also says chamishito yosef alav, and we should be medayik dafka chamishito, and not another chamishit. In which case, mi'et rachmana dafka chamishito, not another type of truma, and dafka the chiyuv mitavas trumat maaser. Furthermore, we have the same question as to whether trumat lachme todah is midama'at. If it gets mixed up with other things, does it give it the din of truma the way that truma does? Of the Trumat Maaser and real Truma Gedola, Oina Midamat. Or do we say that it doesn't extend this Lima to Midamat, Teku?